Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. But can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing, joy to all, hear them singing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday. It's December 9th, 2014. We'll continue where we left off yesterday on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends with a talk by Mary Cassian. She spoke a few months back at the True Woman 2014 National Women's Conference held in Indianapolis. The theme was Finding Freedom, Fullness, and Fruitfulness in Christ. And Mary's talk was titled, Don't Be a Wimp, Kicking the Habits That Make Us Weak. Mary is an award-winning author, international speaker, and distinguished professor at the Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And I should say, men, though these comments were delivered to an all-woman audience, I think about 7,000 or 8,000 women, there are some really good points of application for us all. Yesterday in the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, Mary referred to 2 Timothy 3, verses 6 and 7, as a basis of the seven habits or characteristics that make women weak that creep into their households. And yesterday she talked about women that tolerate the creeps and women that fail to guard their hearts. Well, today she'll cover points 3 through 7 that make women weak. Point 3, they let things pile up. Point 4, they make bad choices. 5, these women are governed by their emotions. 6, they hide behind a religious mask. And 7, they end up spinning their tires. Here's Mary Cassian with the continuation of yesterday's program on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And both today and yesterday's broadcast are archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. Here's Mary beginning with point 3.
Third habit of a wimp. She lets things pile up. Passage says she's burdened with sins. And the verb is used here to describe like a wagon or heaping or accumulating one on top of another. So there's like baggage, more and more baggage, more and more baggage, one on top of the other. A weak woman has lots of baggage because she lets things pile up. Unresolved issues, hurts, resentments. Someone's wounded you and you just can't let go of it. Unconfessed sins. Here's the thing. Old, unresolved sins make you susceptible to new sins. I always tell my kids, sin makes you stupid. Because if you let it fester in your life, you just get stupid. And you sin more. And you sin more. And you pile it on and pile it on and pile it on. And then you go, how could I be so stupid? Well, sin makes you stupid. It just does. Maybe it was curiosity that started it off for you. Maybe it was an internet site you got drawn to and you were just curious. And you got drawn into sin, but then it started piling up one on top of the other. The sin and then the guilt and more sin. And then the weight of it gets so heavy and heavy until you can barely move and it cripples you. Earlier this year in South Korea, there was a passenger ferry that was overloaded with cargo. And you remember the story in the news, it was a tragedy. They piled up in the dark cargo hold. There were 3 times the authorized amount of cargo in the cargo bay. So that ferry was riding low in the water. And then when the captain turned the boat to navigate the water to make a regular turn, the weight in the cargo hold shifted and the whole thing capsized. And there were hundreds and hundreds of teenage school children on a field trip that were killed, died, drowned in the disaster. Ladies, there are burdens that we are meant to bear and that God strengthens us to bear. But then there are burdens that we are not meant to bear. And sin and guilt falls into that latter category. Sin and guilt. We are not meant to bear those. Christ is meant to bear those. He bore everything on the cross when he died. And he says to you, don't let it pile up in your life. Bring it to me and let it go. If you let sin pile up, you're going to be like that Greek ferry And it's going to become impossible to navigate the waters of life. If you have to do a turn or a corner and you have to navigate, all of a sudden you're going to capsize. It'll be too heavy for you. And the amazing message of grace is that you do not need to bear that sin and that guilt. You do not need to be weighed down by it. You can bring it to the cross and let it go. Here's the thing. Sins pile up when we keep them hidden. I always tell my kids, when it's in the darkness, when that sin is hidden and you cover it up and you keep it and you don't share and you don't tell anybody about it and you're not honest about it and you're not forthright about it and you're not humble enough to confess it, that's when it has power. That's when the darkness has power over you. And if you bring that sin out into the light and expose it to the light and just tell someone about it and have them struggle and wrestle and pray with you and confess that sin, then all of a sudden, its grip is loosened over you. So many of you women in this room are dealing with sins that are just piling up. You haven't confessed them. You haven't repented. You just think, well, it's not a big deal. We'll just leave it there. Critical spirit, bitterness, resentments, unforgiveness, slander, envy, pride. There's a verse that I love in James 5, verse 16, and I often quote it. It says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So here's my counsel to you with regards to your sin. Is speak it. Identify it. Say what it is. And if you can, tell someone else. I have seen over my many years in ministry that when someone comes and they speak their sins and confess, it says confess your sins to one another. Well, if someone confesses their sins to me, do I have power to forgive sin? No. But there's power in the body and there's power in the community of Jesus Christ. And as we do that for one another, it's like bringing it into the light and letting it go. So I would encourage you this weekend to do that. Give you a chance to do that this morning. You go out to the prayer room and do that. You grab your girlfriend in the hotel room and say, "I've never told anyone this and I'm scared to death of telling you. But I need it off. I need to be free. I need that burden gone. And I need someone to pray with me and fight with me and hold me accountable." So I encourage you to do that. And you will experience God's amazing grace, because there is not a sin big enough to take over the cross. Not one. That abortion you've never told anyone about. That affair. Just even the little lies. Any sin is too much. We are not meant to bear it. So get rid of it. Bring it into the light. And leave it at the cross. And Jesus will deal with it. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. Don't be a wimp. A weak woman hides sin in the dark. A woman of strength brings it to the light. Lord knows there are so many sins in my heart that I need to bring to light continually in order to be unencumbered by them. Number four, she makes bad choices. She's led astray. She's swayed. Now, this is a passive verb, and it's like being led to a sheep to the slaughter. So the woman takes missteps. She starts making bad decisions. And I said it before, sin makes us stupid. We just get stupid when we let sin pile up in our lives. And we begin to shun wise counsel, so we don't listen to good advice. We elevate our own opinion above that of our Christian friends, or we think that our parents are just so out of touch, so yesterday. And we listen to ungodly people, and we turn to popular wisdom for advice. How many times have you seen it? I've seen it more times than I can count. The scenario of a girl falling for a guy or getting entrapped in a relationship and not listening to the people who warn her and say, "This is not a good thing. There are some red flags here. I'm worried about you." I think of my girlfriend Sarah, and she started going out with this guy, and it's like, "Don't marry him. He's got anger issues. I don't see that self-control. I see arrogance. He doesn't cherish you. He runs you down. He isn't growing in Christ-like character. He has issues with impulsivity. He's got issues with money. He has a sexual history. Did she listen? No. 5 years, and she's in an emotionally abusive relationship, and she's become a shell of herself, diminished, insecure, in terrible predicament. And what is she saying now? I should have listened. I should have listened. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel, Proverbs 12:15, and not just any counsel. It needs to be the right counsel. It needs to be godly counsel, because Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. God gives us good counsel. This is good counsel. Someone who's walking with Christ can look and say, you know, these are some issues I'm worried about. You need to listen to good counsel. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have it. I have insight. And listen to this. I have strength. It's Proverbs 8:12 to 14. Don't be a wimp. A weak woman wanders off course. A woman of strength carefully considers her steps. Point number 5, she's governed by her emotions. And this is the phrase, various passions. Okay, she is like PMS days always. Various passions. Passions, deep desire and cravings and lusts and impulses. Now, there's sexual undertones to this, but that it's bigger than that, just sexuality. But there are those undertones there. So there's the desires of neediness and wanting attention and wanting to be loved, and we all have desires, and we all have legitimate desires and passions, but in the case of a weak woman, her longings are just off a bit. They're discolored, and the word various means they're diverse, and they're many-colored, but the colors are just a bit off. They clash with the true color. Jesus will satisfy your every longing. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Psalm 107:9. But there are some times when our longings are off. And we're going to illegitimate means, or we're trying to fulfill those longings in ways that we ought not to. And they will just get us more and more off course. A weak woman is governed by her emotions. She puts her brain in park. Puts her emotions in drive. Rationalizes her behavior, excuses and justifications. We've all done it. I've done it. It's the I know, but syndrome. I know, but I know I shouldn't be daydreaming about that guy, but my husband is so unaffectionate. I know I shouldn't be watching that movie, but I feel starved for romance. I know I shouldn't be having another drink. But it helps dull the disappointment. I know I shouldn't flirt with my boss, but it feels good to be noticed. I know I shouldn't surf those porn sites, but I need an outlet. I'm single. I need an outlet for those desires. I know I shouldn't date this non-Christian, but you know what? He treats me better than most Christian guys do. I know I shouldn't gossip or stretch the truth, but I want people to value me and affirm me. I know I shouldn't go further into debt, but those fabulous shoes are calling my name. So it's the I know, but, and fill in the blank. I know, da-da-da-da-da-da, but, da-da-da-da-da, my emotions are going to take me this way because I just feel like it. Don't be a wimp, ladies. Don't be a wimp. A weak woman lets her emotions drive her mind. A woman of strength makes her mind drive her emotions. You can choose joy. You can choose peace. You can choose to believe things that are good and right and true and beautiful and excellent and trustworthy. You can choose those things. And if you choose to walk in joy, your emotions are going to follow along behind. Number six, she hides behind a religious mask. So here's the scenario. These women were always learning. And that can be translated always being taught. So they were at all the true woman conferences. These women are book smart. They know Christian stuff. They went to Sunday school. They went to youth group. They've studied the word. And maybe they even see themselves as part of the religious intelligentsia. You know, they know the difference between Arminianism and Calvinism, and they know if they're a three or a four or a five pointer, and egalitarianism and complementarianism, and they know all the names of the Christian who's who. They follow John Piper and Tim Keller and Al Mohler and Matt Chandler and Mary Cassian, and they read all the blogs, and Gospel Coalition, Justin Taylor, Tim Challies, hi Tim, CBMW. They throw in some, you know, alternate opinions. I want to be well-rounded. Better read some Rachel Held Evans. Throw that in there. Let's get it all. They can tell you the difference between Christology, eschatology, soteriology, and ecclesiology, and they've done every single Bible study there ever has been published. And Jennifer can't publish them fast enough. They read every popular Christian book. They've listened to all the latest, greatest Christian speakers. Learning, 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 learning. And in Ephesus, problem was these women had even gotten into Gnosticism, which was basically, they felt like they were sort of the privileged few that had this special knowledge. They were brain smart. But you know what? Brain smart doesn't always translate into life smart. She's a hearer of the word, but doesn't allow it to transform her life. That's the problem with the women in Ephesus, and that's the problem. When you see that happening, that's a weak woman. And Paul argues that knowledge and behavior belong together in the Christian life. Is knowledge good? Yes, it is, but it's no good without behavior. Saying and doing, belief and discipleship, they can't be separated. Don't be a wimp. A weak woman wants to take more in. A woman of strength wants to work it out. Jesus, transform me. Make me different. Help me change. Your prayer as a woman of strength at this conference here is, may I be rocked to the core. And may Christ take his light of inspection into my heart and examine. And here it is. What is it that you want me to change? The final thing we see in the life of a weak woman is that she spins her tires. Now, I live in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. North. It's up there. Which way is north? Help me. That way? Way up there. We get a lot of snow. Do you know what snow is? Do you all know what snow is? And in the winter, you do a lot of tire spinning. You can't get traction. Snow comes and you get stuck. And it's like, and you're like, all neighbors are coming out of the houses and giving each other pushes. And then you get three houses down. And that's characteristic of the life of a weak woman. These women are never able to acknowledge the truth. They spin the tires. There's no progress. There's no change. There's no victory. Dealing with the same issues year after year after year. Not substantially different. They can look back 5, 10 years and say, things haven't changed that much. There's no spiritual growth. You're the same as you were last time you came to a conference. Don't be a wimp. A weak woman stagnates. A woman of strength grows, and she bears fruit. I need to tell you the end of the story, my fighting story with my brother. Well, we went into the living room, pushed the furniture aside because we knew we'd be in trouble if we broke it. And I think my brother was quite amused by this. He's 3.5 years older than I was, and I was just feisty. I was going to take him on. And I started swinging and punching and kicking. And I think he was amused. He pushed me off a little bit. But then I must have smacked him in the face. And he got angry. And he started hitting me for real. And didn't feel so good. And I started crying. And I was getting hit. and I was losing the fight, and he was pinning me down, and it must have been this massive commotion because my older brother heard it from downstairs, and he came up. He pulled us apart, took my brother to the floor, pinned him down, and told him off, said, "How dare you? How dare you do that? How dare you hit her?" And I was kind of watching. And as he finished dealing with him, and then he came brushing past me, and I kind of snuffled and said, "He called me a weak girl." And my older brother looked at me and he said, "You are a girl. And if you get into fights with him, you're going to get beat up. And next time you have an issue, you come call me and I'll deal with it." I like that brother. That was a good brother. It's like, yeah, I can get into trouble. He'll come deal with it. But here's the point. Perhaps as you've been listening to this and you have identified areas in which you're weak, and the truth is, all of us are. We all are. You are. That's what you are. We all need someone stronger. But here's the irony. A weak woman tries to act strong, and culture tells us to act all strong and in control and in charge and bossy as women. But a woman of strength recognizes that she's weak and that she needs a savior. That she's in a lifelong wrestling match with sin, and she's not going to win unless that savior comes in and takes care of it for her. Our own strength is inadequate. I loved listening to Joni last night and listening to her talk about her weakness, because that's what we are. And in order to become a woman who clothes myself in strength, I need to identify my weakness and press into the strength of Jesus. Ephesians 6:10, be strong, what? In the Lord. And in the strength of His might. It's His might. It's His strength. It's Him. And if you don't hold on to that, you can act as big and tough and mean as you want, but you're just going to get beat up. Because we're weak. We are weak. And without Christ as our strength, we're going to take the hits. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence. Seek His strength continually. Ladies, I want you to do just a little bit of business here as we close up. As we've been talking, I'm sure that you're kind of going, we started off and you went, "Huh, like me, I'm not a weak woman." And we go through the points and let the truth of the word shine its light on our hearts. And we go, ouch, ouch, oh boy, oh no. And we realize that we are. And yet women of strength realize that and push into Christ and deal with the sin and let it go. And watch for those creeps and start identifying them and doing something about them. So I want you to leave this place having been spoken to by God's Spirit. So would you please stand and bow your heads in prayer? And I'm going to give you just a few moments to reflect on this message and chew it over and ask the Lord this question: in what area am I being weak where you want to make me strong? What do I need to repent of? What do I need to let go? What do I need to begin working out in my life? Heavenly Father, I pray for this army of women. Oh, that we would be strong women. Not strong-willed women, but women who clothe ourselves in the strength of Christ. Women with fire in the belly and courage in the heart and steel in the spine to say no to what's wrong and yes to what's right. Oh, Jesus, thank you that we can leave it at the cross. That tomorrow is a different day than today was and than yesterday was, and we can start writing a new story with your help. Thank you for that. I pray for those women who need to confess of a critical spirit and who need to go home and who need to become nice to their husbands by the power of Jesus. Those women who are entrapped in pornography and need to shut down that website and put a lock on it so they can't go there through the power of Jesus. Those women who need to walk away from that affair that's kind of starting and it's getting underway, or that one that's been going on for a while, and to be strong and not to be a wimp in the name and the power of Jesus. Those women who are dealing with addictions. Those women who are so weighed down with past sins that they can't let go of. The resentments, the unforgiveness, the bitterness. Oh, Lord, you've made a way. You've made a way for freedom. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that through your sweet spirit, your sweet, gentle spirit, you may speak to each woman here. The creeps that she needs to stop letting into her life. Those little things that are pushing their way in and getting her off course and off base. Heavenly Father, I just pray that she will stop it in the tracks, and not through her own strength, but through the strength of Jesus. And so, Father, I thank you for the good work that you are doing. And may we not be women who are always learning but never able to acknowledge. I pray, Lord, that we will work it out, and that we will see freedom, and that we will see fullness, and we will see fruitfulness. In Christ Jesus. Amen.
That was Mary Cassium delivering the Friday General Session at the True Women's National Women's Conference 2014 a few months ago in Indianapolis. A powerful closing prayer encouraging women to be strong in the Lord, to press into Jesus, recognize that they are weak, but that's okay because women of strength realize they are weak. I hope you are encouraged by this broadcast and can find your own points of application as God desires you to be strong in Him and in His mighty power. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.